Hachette Audio presents Deliver Us From Evil. Written by David Baldacci. Read by Ron McClarty. Chapter 1. The 96-year-old man sat in his comfy armchair enjoying a book on Joseph Stalin. No mainstream publisher would touch the delusion-filled manuscript, since the author had been unfailingly complimentary about the sadistic Soviet leader. Yet the self-published book's positive opinion of Stalin appealed greatly to the old man. He'd purchased it directly from the writer not long before the latter was committed to a mental institution. No stars could be seen hovering over the elderly man's large estate because of a storm moving inland from the nearby ocean. Though he was wealthy and living in great luxury, his personal needs were relatively simple. He wore a decades-old faded sweater, his shirt collar secured all the way to his fleshy neck, which was thick with wattles. His cheap pants lay loose over his skeletal and useless legs. The hypnotic drum of rain on the roof had begun, and he settled farther back in his chair, content to delve into the mind and career of a madman who had killed tens of millions of people unlucky enough to live under his cruel fist. The old man occasionally laughed at something he read, at least the particularly gruesome parts, and nodded his head in agreement over passages where disciples of Stalin explained his graphic methods for the destruction of all civil liberties. In the Soviet dictator, he clearly saw the leadership qualities necessary to drive a country to greatness, while also causing the world to shake with terror. He tilted down his thick spectacles and glanced at his watch. Nearly 11 o'clock. The security system went on promptly at 9, with every door and window professionally monitored. His fortress was secure. A crack of thunder seemed to cause the lights to flicker. They sputtered twice more and fluttered out. In the lower-level electronics room, the battery backup and the security system had been removed, causing it to cease functioning when the power supply was interrupted. Each door and window was instantly disarmed. 10 seconds later, the massive backup generators kicked in and brought the electrical flow back to full power, returning the security system to online status. However, within that 10-second span, a window had opened, and a hand had darted out and caught the digital camera that had been tossed from ground level. The window closed and was locked a second before the system armed once more. Oblivious to this, the old man idly rubbed his hairless head. It was mottled over with scabs and patches of sun-damaged skin. His face had collapsed long ago into a pile of gravity-ravaged tissue that pulled his eyes, nose, and mouth downward into a permanent scowl. His body, what was left of it, had followed a similar route of degradation. He relied on others to help him perform the simplest tasks now, but at least he was still alive when so many of his brothers in arms, indeed perhaps all of them, were dead, many by violent means. This made him angry. History showed that inferiors were perpetually jealous of those greater than they. He finally put down his book. At his age, 3 or 4 hours' sleep at a time was all that was required, but it was now that he required it. He called for his attendant by pushing the blue button on the small circular device he always wore around his neck. It had 3 buttons, one for the attendant, one for his doctor, and one for security. He had enemies and ailments, but the attendant was mostly for pleasure. The woman entered. Barbara had blonde hair and was dressed in a hip-hugging white miniskirt and tank-top blouse that allowed him a liberal view of her breasts as she bent down to help him up into his wheelchair. He had insisted on her wearing revealing clothing as a condition of employment. Old, rich, perverted men could do what they pleased. His wrinkled face nestled against her soft cleavage and lingered there. As her strong arm slid him onto the wide seat, his hand slipped under her skirt. His fingers glided along the backs of her firm thighs until they touched her buttocks. Then he gave each cheek a hard squeeze. He let out a small moan of appreciation. Barbara made no reaction, because she was well paid to endure his groping. She wheeled him to the elevator, and they rode in the car together to his bedroom. She helped him undress, averting her eyes from his collapsed body. Even with all his fortune, he could not force her to look at his nakedness. Decades ago, she would have certainly looked at him, and also done so much more for him, if she wanted to live. Now he was simply helped on with his pajamas like an infant. In the morning he would be washed and fed, again like a baby instead of a man. The cycle was complete, from cradle back to cradle, and then the grave.